Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And as has become customary, I will inform you from the beginning, from the get-go, as it were, that this is a recording and it is not live. That's the bad news. The good news is that we are recording the same day that this is supposed to air, which is October the 8th, year of our Lord 2020. Yeah, last week we decided to play something that I recorded a few years back because it fits. It is analogous to the times that we're living in and the things that we're seeing, and it gave some insight into what we can expect in the coming months, in the coming years, and if the Lord tarries, in the coming decades. But since I'm more of a realist than I am an optimist, if we can get a few more years out of this dying donkey, then it's all good. So with everything that's happened over the last 2 weeks, I feel I need to remind you that it's only been 2 weeks. Donald Trump got coronavirus. He recovered from the coronavirus in this time. We had a vice presidential debate. I'm picking up on a few things that I don't know if anyone else is picking up on. But if they were so certain that all the polling is correct, if they were so certain that this was going to be a blowout, by one Joseph, where am I, Biden? They wouldn't be acting the way they're acting. The latest that I came across is that Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, hinted at a plan Thursday to remove President Donald Trump from office using the 25th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Pray tell, if they're so certain that November 3rd is going to go in their favor, why waste the time to attempt to remove him using the 25th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution? You have to realize that, because I know what some people are going to say, well, it's to keep from filling the Supreme Court seat. Sorry, that horse is already out of the barn. He already nominated Comey Barrett. And so now it's up to the Senate to confirm. Donald Trump already did his job. Even if they managed to somehow use the 25th Amendment of the Constitution to remove him from office, the Supreme Court seat would still get filled. Now, the question is this. How will the general populace react to this lunacy? Because this is what it is. If you can't win fair, then you change the rules. If you can't change the rules, then you upturn everything. It's a sad day when people would rather they rule over a heap of ashes than not rule at all. So, again, you know what? When Nancy Pelosi speaks, half the time, you're wondering if she's suffering the same malady as Joseph Robidoux Biden. But this is verbatim, Nancy Pelosi's words. Tomorrow, by the way, tomorrow. Come here tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment, she told reporters during her weekly press briefing as she fielded questions about negotiations on coronavirus relief funds. Democrats and a few never-Trump Republicans have long talked about using the 25th Amendment to remove Donald Trump from power ever since Trump first took office in 2017. Now, I know it's only been 2 weeks, but a lot of things have come out in these past 2 weeks, one of which was that the whole Russian collusion thing was manufactured by the brain trust of Hillary Clinton and company, and then it was run up the flagpole and approved by one Barack Hussein Obama, he of the former administration. So these people have had it out for this president since the moment the election went his way. Even before that, they were trying to undermine this man even before the election, when they realized that he would be the front runner, even though they were supremely confident that they would win in a landslide, because who doesn't love Pantsuit Barbie? It's Hillary Clinton we're talking about. Every Park Avenue snob knows that Hillary is a lady. And when you put her up against a Neanderthal like Donald Trump, of course the nation's going to swing her way. Well, it didn't, but the plan was in place. And they've made this man's life hell for the last 3.5, almost 4 years. They've accused him of treason. They've accused him of betraying the country. They've accused him of colluding with the Russians. And all of it, it is now documented, was a fallacy, fraud, an invention of imagination that was spawned with one Hillary Rodham Clinton saying the following words: what if we can tie him to, you know, Russian collusion? So tomorrow, by the way, tomorrow, as Nancy said, come here tomorrow. It's, look, these people are pushing for civil war. This is what's happening, because the average American, the quiet majority, the silent majority, those guys just sitting in their basements and loading clips and buying brass, who want to be left alone, who want to keep to themselves, they're starting to feel the pressure of it all. They're beginning to tear at the seams. And you can only push people so much before people start pushing back. But let's read this, and then we're going to go into what's happening in my neck of the woods, which is Wisconsin, because it's setting a horrible precedent. If we're going to start implementing mob rule, then we won't be going anywhere good as a nation. I'm sorry to tell you. But we'll get into that a little bit. Let's read what Nancy had to say, what we can expect tomorrow, come here tomorrow. The text of the 25th Amendment reads, in case of the removal of the president from office or his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president. Whenever there is a vacancy in the office of the president shall nominate a vice president who shall take office upon confirmation by a majority vote of both houses of Congress. Section 3, whenever the president transmits to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives his written declaration that he is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, and until he transmits to them a written declaration to the contrary, such powers and duties shall be discharged by the vice president as acting president. So even though when Donald Trump confirmed that he had the coronavirus and that he was being taken to Walter Reed Medical Center, there were actually reporters asking Nancy Pelosi if she'd measured for new drapes in the Oval Office. Apparently they just hopscotched over Mike Pence completely. They just hopscotched over the vice president went right to Nancy Pelosi president. If that doesn't give you a wake-up call, nothing will, kiddies. President Nancy Pelosi, can you imagine? So whenever the vice president, a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office as acting president. So this is insane. If they do this, there's no coming back from this. And I think that sane, rational, normal people are going to get so fed up that it can turn very ugly very quickly. Because last week, social media was abuzz with the suggestion of using the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office, given his coronavirus diagnosis. Oh, by the way, you know how the other side is supposed to be the sympathetic, empathetic, magnanimous ones? We're all heartless trolls. We don't know anything. We're just drudging along in existence, waiting to die, while they, with their hearts wide open, receive the world as their brother. You should have seen what some of these people tweeted out and declared via Zoom or Skype or whatever they use, because nobody's, you know, going into studio anymore. You should have seen the vile things they were saying about the president. These are supposed to be the people of empathy, by the way. They're superior to you. They look their noses down on you. By your very nature and theirs, you are inferior and forever shall be, because they have cornered the market on kindness and generosity, on feelings that you've never felt, that you can never hope to feel. Yet these bleeding hearts, these oh-so-empathetic souls, wish death upon a man for no other reason than he beat Pantsuit Barbie in 2016, and they disagree with his politics. And once again, because I'm going to keep reminding you of this over and over, it's very important. If all the people that we can readily say are the most grotesque individuals infesting this planet as far as morals are concerned, despise this man, it's in unison. Why not bother asking why? Why do they hate this man so much that now, less than a month away from the elections, Nancy Pelosi is actually floating the idea of invoking the 25th Amendment? By the by, we'll bring this back around and just remind you that if the polls were correct, and what is it? Joe Biden's ahead by 73 points. They wouldn't be panicking the way they are. So even though the president was discharged from Walter Reed National Military Medical Center on Monday and appears to be recovering rapidly, Pelosi evidently has decided to elevate social media chatter to a plan of action. So in 4 years, this man was framed. There was no peaceful transition of power from the previous administration to his, because they attempted to make him out to be a traitor. He was impeached by the House, and now they're flirting with the idea of invoking the 25th Amendment. So I wonder what will happen next week, huh? It's just things are happening so quickly and at such breakneck speed that you have a hard time absorbing all of it. You have a hard time just dialing in the important nuggets, because when one thing starts, so does another and another and another. And I think it's a plan to drown out logic and common sense. Another thing that it's important because of the pattern I guess, there is a man who is a Democrat who is running for the Senate seat in North Carolina. His name is Cal Cunningham. And Cal Cunningham has been a very naughty boy. His affair being exposed recently. But I'm not here to, you know, beat up on Cal Cunningham. I'm here to sort of show you a pattern that I've noticed. In case you remember or not, back in 2018, an African-American man almost became the governor of Florida. He fell short by 20-some-odd thousand votes or something to that effect. Later, to be found with a homosexual escort high on crack and other methamphetamine. Earlier that year, a California representative was caught in a throuple. They actually had to invent a new word because she was married, and she was also having consensual affairs with her secretary or her assistant or something, who happened to be a woman. We're beginning to see a pattern here of just how immoral and amoral the people running for office are. And what comes to mind is, oddly enough, John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, if you will. John the Baptizer had to rebuke a man for living in sin. That man was very powerful. His mistress also didn't like the fact that John had pointed out their sin. And so she asked for his head on a platter. When amoral and immoral people have power, they will use it to silence anyone that points to their deficit. They will use it to silence anyone that points to their hypocrisy, to their hedonism, to their sin, to their adultery, to their thruppleism, whatever it is. So rather than have to deal with amoral and immoral people in power, why not do what we can to keep them from gaining power? Would that not be a much wiser use of our time? You know where I'm going with this. Because there's still a lot of Christians sitting on the sidelines going, well, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. But why not speak your mind while you are able to, while you can, while there's no repercussion, violent or otherwise, for speaking your mind? So, yes, the Senate race in North Carolina has been upturned. Tom Tillis looks like he's going to take this one home, but I've been surprised before. As I was saying, in my neck of the woods, there was a black police officer who shot a black Ute who had a gun and was about to walk into a mall. Now, the officer, and they tried to keep a lid on the fact that he was black for the longest time. His name is Mensa, so it doesn't sound like an African-American name. Never once did they say, by the way, the cop who shot the black kid also happens to be black. Because it would have diluted the rage. It would have diluted the anger. And those presenting the news, those presenting the narrative, as it were, don't want to dilute anything. Now, what they're not figuring into the equation is the fact that once you let a rabid dog off the leash, it's very hard to control it. They haven't thought about it that far ahead. They just want power for now, and so they'll use anger, and they'll use perceived social injustice, and they'll use perceived racism or whatever to make people angry enough to go and loot and burn and kill, because they believe that if they can make things bad enough, people will just take the alternative. Even though the alternative is not promising that anything will calm down if they win. In fact, I think the other side will be more emboldened. But here in Wisconsin, in the city of Wauwatosa, which isn't far from me, I live 20 minutes away, if that, from Wauwatosa. Apparently, mob rule is all the rage. Because yesterday it was announced that the district attorney was not going to prosecute the cop. There was no way you could prosecute a cop basically for employing self-defense. The kid had a gun. He pointed it at the cop. He wanted to go into the mall. What did you expect the cop to do? I know. Take Joe Biden's advice. Don't aim for the chest. Aim for the leg. Thank you, Joe. Your services are no longer needed. Now, a large crowd of protesters in Wisconsin began smashing the windows of homes and businesses as they moved through a residential neighborhood. The protesters marched in violation of a curfew put in place in the city of Wauwatosa that began at 7 p.m. And if you look for the images, you can find the images. These were anything but peaceful protests, but this is how they're being framed. They're no longer just attacking businesses and looting. They're now attacking homes. How long before somebody in a home with a gun feels as though their life was being threatened and pulls the trigger? That is my question. Because you can't continue rioting ad nauseum. Eventually, it loses the sting, so they have to up the ante. So now they're attacking homes, not just businesses. Now, people with children live in homes. People with families live in homes. And I don't know about anybody else, but if I feel you're a threat to my children or my wife, if I feel you're a threat to my family, there is no longer any room for discourse. There is no longer any room for dialogue. There is no longer any room for discussion. That all went out the window the moment I felt as though you were a danger to my children. And the most absurd thing is happening here is that people who defend themselves, who defend their property, are now being deemed criminals. I'm sure you've heard of just the whitest white bread couple in the world, the McCluskeys. They even have a white bread name. Mark and Patricia McCluskey, remember them? Peaceful protesters broke through their fence and were on their property, and Mark and Patricia McCloskey came out with their legally purchased firearms to protect their property. And guess what happened? This happened, let's see, when was it? 2 days ago. A grand jury indicted not the looters, not the rioters, not those that broke down the fence, not the protesters. A grand jury indicted Mark and Patricia McCloskey on Tuesday on charges related to their June 28, 2020 use of guns to keep protesters away from their home. The grand jury indicted the McCloskeys on exhibiting a weapon and tampering with evidence. So what the grand jury is saying is if rioters, looters, arsonists, murderers, rapists, or whatever other human detritus comes to your home, attempts to break in, to loot, to kill, to murder, just shut up and take it. You have no right to defend your property, says the grand jury. You have no right to defend your home. How dare you? How dare you exhibit a weapon? This is what America is becoming. This is what is happening in countless cities, and I think Nancy Pelosi and her clan have realized that this left a sour taste in so many people's mouths that Donald Trump is going to win re-election in a landslide. And so now their only recourse is attempting to invoke the 25th Amendment. Look, I tell you. Because right now you have, I'm seeing ads popping up in some of my feeds. Charismatic Christians for Joe Biden. Evangelicals for Joe. Even if you detest everything about the big orange man, even if you were just a single issue voter, meaning abortion, calling yourself an evangelical for Joe would be like calling yourself, a vegan for lions. Just, it doesn't jibe. It doesn't make sense, man. But they are pulling out all the stops. They are doing everything they can. And we're still about 3 weeks out. And it's only going to intensify. It is an important election. Perhaps, once again, the most important election of your lifetime. So do with that what you will. Now, an investigation was opened against the McCloskeys on June 30th, just 2 days after they stood with guns to protect their property. So on the one side, you have grand juries indicting law-abiding citizens for protecting their property. On the other side, you have Joe Robideau Biden promising to take people's guns away, doing everything in his power to criminalize self-defense. And you can begin to see how quickly things can deteriorate and how truly awful things can get. This is why decent people can't be disengaged. This is why decent people can't be on the sidelines and just consider themselves spectators. This is why decent people need to make their voices heard. Because you have activists who have now filled positions of power, like this prosecutor in St. Louis. These people were defending their property, and you're going to prosecute them. You're going to indict them. Look, a mob doesn't have a right to charge your property or enter your home or burn your business or throw a brick at your head. And I love how everyone's coming out calling it peaceful protests, including, what, former First Lady Michelle Obama. Joe Biden even went further and called Antifa an idea. Good times. And the only hope that we can have is that enough people see through the nonsense, enough people see through the lies, enough people see through the spin and realize just how close to the edge of the precipice we are. One election away from mob rule. It happened in St. Louis. It's happening in Wauwatosa. And again, there was nothing to charge him on. He defended himself. He kept a young man with a gun from going into a mall and doing Lord knows what. But that doesn't matter, does it? It didn't go the way of the mob, and now the mob wants justice. Same thing with George Floyd. I know, he mentioned the unmentionable name. The man would have died of an overdose. He had so much fentanyl in his system. Let's be honest, he was saying he couldn't breathe before the cop put the knee on his head. And throughout the entire exchange, there was no shred of racism or anything else. So how can you charge somebody with second-degree murder when the best you can do is probably negligent homicide? So the prime cop, I guess he got out on parole, or he posted bail, I'm sorry, yesterday. And I think Minneapolis is about to go up in flames again, because a certain segment of the population has taken to the idea that every time something doesn't go their way, something doesn't happen that they expect it to happen, they want it to happen, they felt entitled to, they can just burn and loot and kill. And it's their right to do so. Far as I know, only one candidate for president has condemned what we're seeing. Just a thought. So, I can't wait for the next 3 weeks. Because I guarantee you this is going to get ratcheted up and ratcheted up. Last night were the vice presidential debates. And if anything, I guess it just reminded people why Madam Harris, or as she likes to be referred to, Kamala Harris, was the first to drop out of the presidential contention back when they were all fighting for the prime slot. She is not very likable. I'm very sorry. She is not very likable. You know how some people are likable? She's not one of them. Sorry, it's out there. And no, it's not. She's not even black, so stop. Her granddaddy owned slaves. But now I'm expected to, and this is where the hypocrisy just gets me. I get stomach acid. I gotta go buy Pepto-Bismol after this. Because they preach equality, right? Oh, we're all equal. But anytime someone pushes back on someone like Kamala Harris, who is basically a woman who had loose enough morals to sleep her way to the top, or at least the middle, then they flip the script and call it mansplaining. Oh, look at that mean old meanie Mike Pence. Look at him mansplaining to Kamala. I thought it was a debate. Don't hide behind your gender. Oh, I'm just a frail little woman. How dare you call me out on my lies? I'm just a frail little woman. Kamala Harris hasn't been frail since she was 5. So let's stop with that. But there's no pleasing anybody. When Trump debated Biden, he was too crass, too mean, too loud, too boisterous. Look at that bull in a china shop. Pence comes along, and we all know Mike Pence's demeanor. Calm, collected, lays out his, you know, reasoned points. Well, Mike Pence was just too flaccid. This is a direct quote from a female MSNBC reporter. Mike Pence was just too flaccid. So you can't, they're always going to find something, do you understand? They're always going to cover for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They're always going to find something to moan about when it comes to our side, because they've cast their lot already. It's not as though there's impartial journalism going on. If you think that's the case, then I don't know where you've been. But man, I guess, how do I put this? Because I know I'm going to get blowback about it. I know some people are going to say, and I'm going to tie this into Goliath versus David. You've got to have a large enough enemy or a large enough body of enemies in order to give credit to somebody other than yourself for victory. Let's put it that way. See, when Donald Trump won in 2016, it upturned the lives of many a people. Nobody expected it. There were just too many, from Republicans to Democrats to media to movie stars to athletes to religious figures. Everyone was against him. And somehow he managed to pull it off. We're seeing a repeat of 2016 on steroids. But I guess in order for you to understand that some things are providential, the resistance and the enemy has to be large enough for everyone to just realize that it was not the hand of man that brought about victory. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to go any further or any deeper, because I think you all understand what I'm trying to say. So here we are. What is it? 26 days until the election. I honestly do not believe that there are any undecideds. I don't believe that anyone is sitting there going, I don't know who I'm going to vote for. It's just so complicated. Now, for those of you losing heart, because I've read your emails, I've seen your messages, brother, look at the polls. How can people be so dumb? Look at those polls. Joe Biden up 27 points. Now, I was a wee bit younger in 2016. I was 41 years old. But if memory serves, there was a 97% chance that Hillary Clinton would be president. Let that sink in. every poll had her ahead. I don't look at polls. I don't believe the polls. What I look at is the reaction of the other side and what they're doing. If everybody was comfortable, if everybody was smiling and high-fiving, then at least I would believe that they believed the polling. But when you have Nancy Pelosi attempting to invoke the 25th Amendment, let me just say that I do not believe they're very enthused about their chances. Even with the cheating, even with the... Because there was a moment of respite there. Just go back. Because I keep track of these things because I need to understand motivation most of all. But after that, I want to understand action and equal and opposite reaction. There was a moment of respite where they had succeeded in the whole mail-in ballot thing. And they thought this was their surefire way to rig the election and win. But we're beginning to see information trickle in that a lot of these ballots are getting thrown out because people aren't smart enough to read the directions. They don't put them in both envelopes and all this other stuff. And so now they're starting to panic again. This was their insurance policy against another loss. And they're realizing that, uh-oh, our voters by and large are too dumb to put two envelopes one into another. They're too hot on the weed or unmotivated to do it. And so now they're scrambling to invoke the 25th Amendment. If it wasn't so troubling, it would be kind of funny. So we have a woman that preaches equality of genders that's hiding behind her gender. Apparently it was disrespectful and gross for Mike Pence to ask Kamala certain poignant questions about her positions. Look, do you realize that neither Kamala Harris or Joe Biden declaratively denied that they would stack the Supreme Court when asked directly? Joe Biden refused to answer. Kamala Harris refused to answer. And the question was very simple. If you win, are you going to stack the Supreme Court? What this means is to go from 9 justices to, I don't know, 13, 15, 22, 78, whatever. And what it means by stacking is to put all these people who aren't there to interpret the Constitution or be constitutional jurists. It's to make up their own rules and laws and agree with whatever their base says. Because I've also gotten these emails. Well, brother, I think you're making too much of this. Because what does it matter who wins? They can't do anything about it anyway. Really. So let's say that rather than 9 Supreme Court justices, you have 18. And 15 of those are rabid anti-Godders. They believe, as Joe Biden does, that Christianity is backwards and it's impeding progress. What laws could they pass that would lead to your persecution? What laws could they pass that would lead to your imprisonment? Well, brother, you're being an alarmist. No, because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would not deny that if they were able to and if they had the power, they would stack the Supreme Court. Look, there's two kinds of people in this country today. There are people who believe other people at their word when they tell them they intend to do something. And there are people who just shrug it off and go, ah, that's too insane. They'd never do that. The reason they haven't yet done it is because they haven't had the power to do it. Understand this. It's not for lack of desire. It's not for lack of trying. It's not for lack of want. These people have not implemented their lunatic ideas simply because they've been so unpopular in the minority and powerless to do it. If they get power, every single just thing that you would never think normal people would agree to, they will pass in an instant because they know how to use power once they attain it. That's the problem with our side. We're timid about using power when we attain it. This is why I hear, well, you know, in the spirit of brotherhood and reaching across the aisle, we should wait until after the elections to vote on a new Supreme Court justice. No. No, 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 no. Because they wouldn't do it. I guarantee you, if the roles were reversed, whoever they handpicked would have already been up for a vote and they would have been just pushed through. But see, they always expect our side to be magnanimous, as they pretend to be. Reach across the aisle, why don't you? Because there's crazy people across the aisle, and I'm afraid they're going to bite my finger. That's why I'm not reaching across the aisle. Because across the aisle, there's people who believe that cow farts will be the end of us. There's people who believe that population control is a viable concept. There's people who believe that there's more than two genders. There's people who believe that mothers who give five-year-olds drugs that will inhibit their progress, that will forever alter them, are brave, not crazy, brave. Look at that brave mama giving testosterone blockers to her four-year-old. Because as they were walking through Walmart one day, little Bobby picked up a doll. And a mama knows her baby. That baby's a girl. And people go along with it. They applaud it. Oh, brave! So no, I don't want to reach across the aisle. I might get infected with crazy. So if you have the opportunity and the possibility to ensure that the Supreme Court will be a conservative-minded court for the next generation, don't dawdle. Look, there's a senator from Wisconsin. I think his name's Ron Johnson. He got COVID lately or recently. And he came out and said, if I have to show up in a moon suit or a spacesuit, I'm still showing up to vote. You know what? I will be voting for this man come next election. Because that's what I want from my politicians. I want fighters. I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of people who work their way up the ladder from a kneeling position, like Kamala Harris. I like fighters. And you know what? Sometimes fighters are abrasive. Sometimes fighters don't say the genteel thing. How's he going to do with suburban moms? I think he's going to do just fine with suburban moms, because suburban moms don't want their homes broken into, their kids beaten up, and themselves raped. So I think he'll do just fine with suburban moms. So unless you want to get as angry as me, just ignore the polls. Do what you need to do. If you need to talk to somebody about it, use reason and logic and say, these are the bullet points. Anyway, oh wow, we're almost out of time again. And I was going to get into 1 Samuel 17 too. But it's been an interesting couple of weeks. I mean, wow. It's one just curveball after another. And I guess the newest one is the invocation of the 25th Amendment. Good on you, Nancy. So the next time you think that they got it in the bag, the next time you think that, oh my, we're losing, ask yourself, why, oh why, would Nancy Pelosi even float the idea of invoking the 25th Amendment if they thought they had it in the bag? Another thing that happened was that within a matter of, 3 days, Donald Trump once again was able to upturn the entire narrative of fear regarding COVID. 3 days. That's how long it took the man to recover. And the message he had for the nation was a reasonable one. Don't let this dominate your life. Don't live in fear. And the saddest thing I saw, I think they even scrubbed it off the internet because there were enough replies going, really? That they realized they'd made a mistake. They found the daughter or the granddaughter of a man who died with COVID at 96 that was angry at the president for saying, don't let this virus dominate your life. How dare he say this when my granddaddy at 96, people think they're going to live forever. 96. And he didn't die of it. He died with it. But it doesn't matter. He hurt her feelings. How dare he? 96. Look, a chunky 74-year-old who doesn't get exercise came through it A-okay. And if the nation saw that this wasn't a death sentence, then it's a net positive. Because I tell you this, right now, the state of Wisconsin has decided to go back down to 25% capacity for restaurants because our governor is a buffoon. There are businesses that will never recover. There are people who have lost their livelihoods. They have lost what they worked for, perhaps for decades. And if given the choice, I think more people than we realize would rather have flu-like symptoms for 3 days and be able to continue running their business and paying their employees and paying their mortgage, then shutting down and hiding in their basements hoping it goes away. But when you give small people power, they tend to abuse it. religiously, consistently. When you give small people power, it gets very addictive very quickly. It's like a drug, and some of these governors have gotten a taste, and they like it. And so they're going to try to drag this out for as long as they can, or at least until after the elections, because, you know, that's how long the Wisconsin ban is for, until November the 6th. After that, it'll go away. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, nudge. So this is a battle for the soul of the nation. I realize that it may sound hyperbolic to some, but it is a battle for the soul of the nation. So where we go, God already knows, but we still have to do our part. Because to bring it full circle, why did David have to be there anyway? If God was in control, if God could have cut down and smitten Goliath, why did David have to be there? Ask yourself that question before you decide to sit on the sidelines. God could have taken care of it. But you know what? God uses people. And God uses obedient people. And people who present themselves and say, I will go when I will do. Not in my strength, but in His. So that's my nugget of the week for you. Dwell on that. Meditate on it. We'll talk next week. We'll be here. May God bless you. May God keep you. Thank you for joining us. Gino, if you got anything to say, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Mike. I just want to mention a couple things. Michael will be speaking at our Final Stand 2020 rally. That is October 31st. Yes, it's Halloween. We don't care about Halloween. It'll be from 5 to 8 o'clock or 5 to 8:30 in the evening at the Watertown, Wisconsin Country Club. If you are interested to receiving tickets for that, please call Gene Schmidt at 920-342-2032, and we will work on getting you tickets. Also, Mike's book, The Battle Ready Believer, very powerful book. You can go to handtohelp.com and read a book about not only being valiant in battle, but God giving us the power and the tools to have victory in battle. We will all face battle, but God gives us the power and strength over the enemy. And also, I would urge you to go to handyhelp.com and get the DVD, Wake Up America, and keep blowing a trumpet and warning friends, family, church, etc., about God's message of repentance for America. It's all in this video of America. If you did not hear Jonathan Cahn's message at the return in Washington, D.C., I urge you, go to YouTube and listen to Brother Jonathan's powerful word on the potter and the clay. It is a great message from God. And Jonathan got the Through the Fire book from me about 4 years ago, and he supports our ministry and message that Dudeman was given. So please check out the potter and the clay message on YouTube. And we just appreciate you listening to this broadcast. It will be put up on YouTube as well. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.